father, and they wanted to stay with it. And so we had quite a few boarders, and mother had so much work, so Rudolph used to wash the dishes, and I used to dry them. And father and other boarders, they would engage in card games. I remember, let's see, not on Lindar. Yes, even on Lindar, the beer wagon would come around, and a man would come sit down, and he'd take the orders from the boarders. Some would want a gallon of wine, some this. That time you could buy a gallon of whiskey or wine, whatever you wanted. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they'd buy something and share it amongst themselves. And the men, as part of their pastime, they would wrestle or do different kind of calisthenics. And they had that, what you call that bar, where the chinning, is it a chinning bar? Mm-hmm. I saw father, not on chinning the bar, but he went around completely. Mm-hmm. He was quite an athlete. And I saw the other boarders do that too. And let's see, what else? Oh, I forgot to tell you, this would be an addendum to Tarentum, Pennsylvania. The reason why I mention that there, because I know nowhere did we live where there was a creek in back of the house. Mm-hmm. And when, in Tarentum, Pennsylvania, we had this creek, and in back of the house there was a hill down towards the creek. And after rain, sometimes we'd go down, you know, see the things floating down the creek. And one day we, Elizabeth and I, my sister Elizabeth and I, we went down, and she sees a flower down at the, on the banks of the creek, but near the bottom. So she told me she liked to have flour. So I laid on my stomach, and when I laid on my stomach, my feet were sticking up in the air. So when my feet were sticking up in the air, she just gives me a shove, and I went into the creek. I wonder if she remembers that. So here I come up, all soaking wet. That was on Tarentum, Pennsylvania. I didn't forget that. Now, let's see, what else happened to Lindar?
Well, what did you say the name of the boat was?
Kaiser Wilhelm the second, but the second in German is the Zweite.
And do you remember anything at all about the trip over on the boat?
No, except that I know that we were way down in the hold, you know, that third class, or what they used to call it. They had a particular name for it. Steerage or something like that. Uh-huh. And my brother Rudolph used to take care of the pot for me. Because I was small, see? Let's see, 1905.
You were 4 years old.
4 years old. I shouldn't have required a pot then, but I guess, well, anyhow, he carried a pot on his back. You know, like a helmet. All I remember that when we come in, there was a lot of people going off the boat. That's about all I remember. That. But even downtown New York was what, in those days, what this was later on.
I can imagine. Well, getting back, what about your mother's family in Slovakia?
They always lived in Divinska Nova Ves, and
they're Vlasic.
Yes, Vlasic. we have to put on in another chapter of that. What little I know of that family.
Oh, let's talk about it now.
No, that comes later on. I could mention it now, it could be stretched out later.
Fine.
My grandfather, on my mother's side, Ciprian Vlasic, he was a farmer. They called him a sedlak. But apparently he used his head and he acquired quite a bit of land to the point where later on in years he hired help.
Uh-huh.
He had quite a bit of land and he hired help. And he prospered that way. But along came the war.
Which war?
I think the Second World War. Second World War. And he had a tap room.
Not the Second World War, must have been the
first. Second World War. He had a tap room. In the house. And he did all right that way. He put a lot of money in the bank. He bought equipment for farming, a tractor, and he had men. He had horses. He had a lot of land. And he did very good. But it came to the point where rumors were spreading around that he was what do you call like a spy, see? See, he closed up the tap room.
Uh-huh.
And
a spy for whom?
Huh? Well, the Second World War. For a while, Russia was on our side, but later on, it was with the Germans. See?
This is your, not your grandfather.
The grandfather, yeah.
Your grandfather was.
Oh no! Not my grandfather. It was my on my mother's side.
Yeah.
On my mother's side. So it wasn't the grandfather. It was my.
The Ciprian
uncle. It was my uncle Ciprian.
Oh, your uncle Ciprian.
Yes. Uh-huh. My uncle Ciprian, he's the one that had the tap room.
Uh-huh.
And when it came in, that's before even the Russians got there.
Uh-huh.
He closed it up. But then later on, when the Russians came in, they took the money that he had in the bank. They only left him 5,000 crowns.
Uh-huh.
He had much more than that. They left him 5,000 crowns. Remember, dear? They took his horses.
Uh-huh.
They took his all farming equipment.
Uh-huh.
All the land except his yard and house. They stripped him practically of everything. That's Uncle Ciprian.
That was the Russian stripping.
Yeah. Now, I saw my grandfather's side, in other words, Uncle Ciprian's father.
Uh-huh.
I saw his picture, maybe it's somewhere on the farm yet. And Ciprian's mother, That would be my mother's also. She drowned in the, I don't know if it's in the Morava or the Danube, but she drowned very early in life. So my grandfather got married again. And
what was his name?
Huh?
Was he a Cyprian too?
No. He lived right across the road from Cyprian.
He lived across the road?
Yeah.
What was his name?
That's his half-brother. Uncle Cyprian's half-brother is right across the road. I can tell you his name if I think of it. And that's why there was 18 children altogether. And my grandfather, on my mother's side, he's buried just, you know, walking distance from where...
So in the Vlasic family, there were 18 children.
Uh-huh.
Cyprian had 17 brothers and sisters.
Yeah. And now Carl, he was a third brother, you know, your uncle joined the Detroit.
Now Carl was a subpoena.
Carl, yes, was his father's brother, youngest brother.
Okay.
And how many children he had, I'm not sure.
Peregrine was a subpoena.
And there's one daughter living in Ostrava. That's Carl's daughter.
In Ostrava. Okay, and Peregrine was a subpoena or a Vlasic?
Huh?
Peregrine, your aunt Peregrine, was she a subpoena or a Vlasic?
Peregrine is a Vlasic.
A Vlasic.
Now Uncle Joe, you know, died in Detroit. This family was about two children more in the family than in our family.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was 13.
Now when your parents made the decision to come to the United States, do you know if their parents were for it or against it?
When they wanted to come to the United States, I'm not too sure about it. I'm inclined to think that they were against it. But my Aunt Peregrine is the one that helped my mother to get here, you know, after father was here, see? And we, for a while we lived just about a block away from where Uncle Cyprian lived. I think it's further west of Uncle Cyprian lived. And one block from there, no, on the same street, but on the opposite corner, it was a building like a good many years ago was a mansion. And that's where the Queen of Austria used to go for the summer.
I thought that was across the river.
Huh? No, right there on that corner.
A block away from where Cyprian lived?
Yes.
And
you know, in Devinskano Abyss, and some of those buildings, you can see the pock marks from the shells.
Uh-huh.
Quite a few of the buildings.
Pavel Havel, how is he related to you now?
Pavel Havel is a cousin from my mother's side. Yes. Because one, Papa Hubbard's wife, Papa Hubbard's wife is the cousin of my mother.
In what way? It was his
her
wife?
Mother.
Okay. Her mother was sister to your mother?
Yes.
What was her mother's name?
Vlasic.
No, first name.
Johanna.
That was your mother's name?
Yes.
What was her sister's name?
That I don't know. But in the Vlas Kabila, there's a lot of relatives there, you know.
What did Cyprian do for a living? He was a farmer?
He was a farmer.
And he carried on the farm that your grandparents had?
Yes. And then he opened up the bar.
And he had a bar in the house?
In the house.
There in Vlas Kabila where we visited?
Huh?
Where we visited?
Yes, in that house.
In that house, he had a barn.
The front part of it.
I'll be darned, that's where we slept. And Franz František, Franz František is son-in-law of,
František?
Yes.
Oh, František, you mean Yorzula's husband?
Yorzula.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yorzula is a František. Yorzula is the daughter of Cyprian.
Right.
Who is it that lives in Austria and has the butcher shop?
That is Peregrine's son. And Peregrina is mother's sister. Mm-hmm. You mean Franz Steinbachner?
That's right, that's right. We visited him. And so when you came to the States, how did you get to the farm? From McKee's Rocks?
No, wait a minute. We lived on McKee's Rocks about not more than 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think the first time we went there was about maybe early 1911 or 12. That's when they bought the farm, and they bought it through an agent. He used to go around through McKee's Rocks, Lindor, and sell the farms, take the slow box either to Virginia or to Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. or Connecticut. And so that's how my father and his brother bought the farm through an agent. They took him up to Connecticut. And well, when we, oh, I want to tell you a little more about McKee's Rocks first before we get to Connecticut. While we're living on McKee's Rocks, that it was about, I think, 1912. That's when the steamship Titanic sank. Uh-huh. And it's amazing how quick they made movies in those days. Because while we were there yet, we saw the picture, the sinking of the Titanic. Right across the street they had a great big banner, you know, like the towns do nowadays. They put it up there, and it was the sinking of the Titanic, and we went to see it. Huh. And of course, in Hollywood, even these those days, they could do anything, you know, with toys, you could have a boat then. So, we saw there, And what little we knew about movies in those days, well, I'll tell you the kind of movies they had. To go to the movies, when you come to buy your ticket, right by the ticket office, there's a stepladder going up into the projection booth. The projection booth was like an add-on. Mm-hmm. It was made out of metal. The operators could climb up this ladder into the projection booth, and then you see the picture. And one day, Brother Rudolph and I, we went to see a movie, and it must have been early in the afternoon. And I think it was 5 cents then to go to. That's what they used to call Nickelodeons. We went to see the movie. And then the rest of the afternoon we played around. And then Rudolph says, let's go to the movies again. So all right. So we went to the movies again. And he said, oh, shucks, we saw that. We thought every time you go there, we see a different picture. So we saw the same picture twice. Well, from McKee's Rocks, let's see. I think we took the streetcar from Lindorf to McKee's Rocks. And when we're moving, we carried a few things with us, like holy statues, you know, mm-hmm. like you have on mantelpiece. And we used to have, I think, two or three of them. So I don't know if I carried one and Rudolph carried another, somebody else, one of us must have carried something bigger. And we took the streetcar. And when we got off the streetcar afterwards, we discovered that one of us forgot the statue. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know whether I left the saint on the streetcar or what, but I remember that much. Well, all right, so we left on McKee's Rocks. And, of course, father went to buy the farm first, look it over, and they bought the farm. So we came up.
And his brother?
Huh?
And his brother?
Yeah, father and his brother Joseph. They both went over to Connecticut to buy the farm. They paid $2,000 for 180 acres. Mm-hmm. And, so the parents sold the furniture. They sold it to some people named, I think, Gracie. And well, we went on the farm, and after we stayed there about a year, they figured, well, there was no way of having an income. They didn't have a car. They didn't know anything about the mills. So. We decided to go back to the city.
Who did?
The parents did. So both Uncle Joe and the father, I guess, they all packed up again and beat it back to McKee's Rocks.
And left you and everybody else on the farm?
Yeah. So we bought the farm from somebody named Molnar, M-O-L-N-A-R, Hungarian people. And, went back to McKee's Rocks and stayed there for a while, and then somebody wrote a letter from Connecticut to the parents. They should come back because people were taking things out of the house. Somebody stole the pump out of a house, you know, pump. They took the pump, a pitcher pump, and the pipe out of the well. So they figured they'd try to make a go of us, so they went back to the farm. And by this time, they were shipping some of the furniture. Well, was the first time. The first time they shipped the furniture. But the next time they sold the furniture to Gratz. And I remember when we came to the farm, the Hungarians were still living there. One of the Hungarians were still living there when they were the first time.
Uh-huh.
And we had to sleep in the barn.
For how long?
Just for a couple of nights, I guess. And we slept in a barn, and to us, the children from the city, we didn't know what you have to contend with when you go on the country. But as we lay down there, some things would bite us, you know, and we'd scratch and scratch, and then you see little lights flying around. So we thought those things were biting us. But what we actually saw was mosquitoes, and we saw the lightning bugs, mm-hmm. I mean the June bugs. So, you see, in the city we didn't have any mosquitoes. Mosquitoes mm-hmm. had too much gas. And so, we were in the house there for a while until they moved out, and then the parents took over. They half and half. Now, Uncle Joe just outside the house that is now used as a kitchen and a living room. And we lived in the back part.
What they
Plus
did
we had lots there, see?
Uh-huh.
So that's how the house was divided. And the fields and different things were divided different. We had one side of the road, and Uncle Joe would have the other side of the road. And I remember there was many arguments there on the children, too, see?
Uh-huh. Well, how many were living in the house?
How long we were...
How many people were in that house?
Well, there was nine of us on our side. There must have been 11 on the other side in that one house to start with.
People. Good grief.
Because then... There was two children born while we were living on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
That was Alfred and Leo, I think. Wait a minute, maybe Angie too. It was six of us and... eight of them, I think. And so they moved on the house and the parents to have some kind of income or to pay off some of the debt on the farm. They sold a woodlot, wood, to sawmill. And sawmill came and they were cutting timber on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And you see sawdust pile here, sawdust pile there. And so Uncle Joe and Father would work at the sawmill. And then one of my uncles, let's see, I think it was Uncle Franz, an uncle from my mother's side. He came from Europe, and I think he worked at the sawmill there for a while, too. And so they paid off some of the debt, you know, they had a little money to live on. That is, they paid off some of the debt, not all. And they were there farming, or bought cows and chickens and all that stock up. And then they would work on the roads where there was work available.
Uh-huh.
And then Yeah, they work on the roads practically all the time. In winter time, while there was no work available there, no means of transportation, and except what they raised on a farm. And then Father and I, we would go to Stafford selling vegetables and chickens.
How did you get there?
Wagon.
With a
horse and wagon. We'd load up, we'd go in the morning. And while I went to school, I joined the contest from successful farming. I saw it in the paper. They have a contest, they're going to give away a pony as first prize and dishes, you know, for the 52-piece dinner set. Second prize and then the third prize. And the subscription to the magazine was 25 cents a year, and you got 10 postcards. 35 cents for 2 years, and you got 15 postcards, and so on. So I would start out Sunday morning, no, even Saturday. I'd start out and walk, and I'd walk a distance of 10 miles away, stopping at the farm. Different directions, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I came home with the money, well, my mother would need money for this or for that, I'd give it to her, see?
Uh-huh.
The result was that everybody got the subscription kind of late, see?
Uh-huh.
And one time, there's some people over at the house there, not at the house, but my mother met somebody, and the lady says, "Did your boy go around telling Maggie?" "Yes," she says. "Well, 6 months ago, she subscribed, you know, gave him the money and never got a magazine. So mother told her the truth. You know, that he gave enough money if she just forgot to give it back to me, you see? So I fixed that up. But the result was I never got the pony. But we did get the 52-piece dinner set.
Oh, really?
Yes. Uh-huh. That's in all the United States.
How did that? Fantastic.
Yes. And we got one piece, I think, from outside yet today.
No kidding.
Madeline has.
You still have a piece. That's an heirloom.
And, then later on, after I finished school, of course, I went to school to, I graduated, I was 15 years, I guess, yes, 15 years old, and I went to that school, didn't know where it used to be, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working Stafford and Dell, helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got $9.55 for 55 hours of work.
Mm-hmm.
And the first day I came home, I gave the folks everything, see? Nothing, I just kept $2 for board there. The price to pay for board and meals, $2 a week. For a while, then more. And then Father used to get a job in the mill there, especially in winter time, see? Working in a woolen mill, that helped out. He used to work in a dye house.
All right, now, well, let's see. We left off while I was already on the farm,
right,
and working in Stafford.
So you were 15.
Huh? Yes. And
how was that going to school in Connecticut?
Oh, I skipped. I did go to school, and I went to a wood school about a mile from home, and that was the closest neighbor, not closest neighbor, closest building from the north side of the farm. The south side of the farm, the neighbors.
You have a picture of your family. Wood school.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to show you that magazine that we have, you know, published in the township.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of the hall that I worked on, and my picture in it, and father's picture too. And the picture of the wood school that I went to. And me too. And going to school was really something there. We had to walk 1 mile. There was no such thing as closing the schools when you see a few snowflakes coming down.
Well, how many were in the school? And how many?
24, 25.
Is that for
a whole school. And let's see, I think I started off in the fourth grade there. Yeah, fourth, fifth, sixth.
Do you remember, when you went from McKees Rock to Connecticut, how did you go, on a wagon?
No, we went from McKees Rocks to Connecticut. We took a train, and I forgot what train was, but Mother was talking about that, you know, went to Washington and Buffalo, so I couldn't figure out how we went.
Hmm.
See, we must have been a couple of days on the road there, but I remember that when we were going on the farm, my mother and auntie, they wanted to keep track of the children so they wouldn't lose any, because there was about 13 or 14 of us children. So what they did, they bought a bolt of cloth, you know, and they made us clothes for all the children they like. So we looked like a bunch of little prisoners. And you know what the material was?
What was that?
It's the kind of material you make mattresses out of, you know.
Green and white
stripe? Yeah, the stripe material. And I guess everybody must have got a bang out of it. And I remember that, you know, when it was time to eat, I'd see Father get down from the train and he'd rush into the depot there. And I guess where there was a restaurant or something to eat, he would always come up with a pie or cake or anything like that, but no sandwiches, nothing like that, because I guess there wasn't time for that, you know, because usually the trains just stood there for a few minutes. But I saw Farrell do that quite a few times. And until we rode, and I guess we got to Hartford that way, then from Hartford, we had to take the streetcar to Stafford.
Streetcar.
Because streetcars used to run those days. In fact, there's streetcars running from Hartford to Stafford Springs when I was working.
Uh-huh.
And even when we were married, wait a minute, I'm not sure about that, if they were running when we were married. For quite a few years after I started work, streetcars were still running. And, that's how we got to the farm. And then in Stafford Springs, I guess my father and uncle must have hired, they went to a livery stable and must have hired a horse and buggy. See? And, let's see what his name was. I think it was Gary. had a livery stable. And, well, we'll go back to the school. It was a good place. Well, I can't eat and talk at the same time. I'll take this one. There were 24 children at the whole school, and practically all of us walked, except some children came from a direction, another direction, and a lady by the name of Mrs. Chekhovich. She used to bring about six children, so many of her own, and then Jubons, and she used to bring it out with a horse and a buggy, and the buggy was a two-seater with a fringe on top. And summertime, I mean wintertime, she used to bring him on a sleigh. And well, that kept up, and she got paid for doing that, you know, from the township, for bringing the children to school. And that was the only mode of transportation there, but the rest of us children walked, you know, like Nedgies and Burrows and Shustek and us and Chekhovich's. So we all walked. And in the room, in back of the front end of the room, was a stove. It wasn't pot belly because the stove was kind of long, a wood stove. So she could put in long pieces of wood, and the teacher. And the stove was in front of the room, but then the stove pipe went always through the whole room, you know, right under the ceiling, and then to the back, and that helped to heat the room. And the children that were in seats that were near the front, they were the luckiest, but the ones further back were older ones anyhow, in the higher grades. Well, they got less heat, but it took a while to heat up that school.
Who used to cut the wood for it?
I don't know who. Must have been Mr. Jubon or somebody that had a gasoline engine in the wood. And some men would first, they'd go and cut the trees down, and they'd haul the long pieces of wood by the school on the pile, and gasoline engine would cut it all up. And we never ran short of wood, and we had a well right near the school there where we used to get the water, you know. Mm-hmm. Bumper. And I remember we had a lot of fun around that school. You know what we used to do? We used to go in back of the school. Of course, the woods came right after school. That's why they call the woods school. But us boys, we'd go there in summertime. We never had wore any shoes anyhow. We never wore shoes. Us children never wore shoes until it started freeze in fall. So during the warm weather at school there,